From Maine Public Radio and MainePublic.org, I'm Nora Flaherty with the news on this day in Maine, Tuesday, July 9th, 2019. A substance use recovery center in Ellsworth has lost its license after an inspection found numerous deficiencies. According to Maine's Department of Health and Human Services, Open Door Recovery Center failed to conduct background checks on staff, failed to document staff training and supervision, failed to document patient treatment and progress, and also failed to rectify issues after they'd been identified. That first happened last year, and Open Door was granted a conditional license in December. But in June, state officials determined the center had failed to make corrections, and DHHS decided not to renew the center's license, which expired on July 1st. A spokesman for Open Door did not respond to a request for comment. A spokeswoman for DHHS says all the recovery center's clients have been placed in alternative programs. Maine's health agency is increasing promotion of a website designed to connect parents and child care providers. Steve Missler has more.
A new two-year contract with Maine Roads to Quality, a development network for child care professionals, includes improvements in provider information on childcarechoices.me, the website parents can use to find child care in their area. The new contract is valued at $5.3 million, an increase over $700,000 over the previous agreement, and includes an outreach effort that the state hopes will drive parents to a website that provides licensing, rating, and curriculum data about providers. The website replaced an in-person referral service serving all 16 Maine counties that was cut as a result of the state's budget 7 years ago. An examination of the state's multi-layered childcare problem by Maine Public Radio found that many parents struggle to find care and are unaware of the website, and advocates say cutting the referral program fragmented Maine's childcare system. For Maine Public Radio News, I'm Steve Missler.
And the University of New England has launched a new School of Nursing and Population Health. The school's director, Jennifer Morton, says it was time to grow from a nursing department into a school because UNE now graduates about 100 nursing students a year.
In the last 6 or 7 years, we've almost tripled our enrollment. So the growth of the program has a big part to play in that.
Morton says several federal grants also made the expansion possible. The new school will add graduate-level nursing programs to UNE's offerings. In weather tonight, partly cloudy statewide with lows in the low 50s to low 60s. Tomorrow, mostly sunny, highs in the mid-70s to mid-80s, lows in the low 50s to low 60s. Opponents of Central Maine Power's proposed 145-mile power line through western Maine say they'll start a petition drive to take the question to a statewide vote in November of 2020. Fred Bever has more.
Sandra Howard, director of the grassroots opposition group Say No, says gathering the 70,000 signatures needed to try to kill the CMP project at the ballot box will be an enormous undertaking.
And it's one that we need to move forward on, but we can't do it in haste.
Howard, a former rafting guide in Carrituck, where the line would cut a 150-foot-wide swath through the woods, founded the group last summer. Since then, CMP won a key permit from state utility regulators for the billion-dollar transmission line. It's formerly called the New England Clean Energy Connect. And with the help of vetoes by Governor Janet Mills, CMP last month sidestepped legislative efforts to slow or kill the project.
That really infuriated a lot of people, especially those who have made voting decisions to support the governor based on a platform of using renewable energy.
Despite those disappointments, Howard says there's clear evidence that the project, like CMP itself, is widely unpopular in the state. While they weren't veto-proof, for instance, the legislative bills taking aim at the project drew strong bipartisan majorities in both chambers. More than 20 host municipalities where CMP won early support have either rescinded it or gone on the record as outright opposed. And last month, unions representing Maine steelworkers and employees at Bath Iron Works voted to oppose the project. Howard says the breadth of the opposition, including her group's 7,000 Facebook followers, indicates that once a formal request to circulate a petition is submitted to the Secretary of State, there will be no shortage of motivated ground troops.
You know, we don't have the money to pay people to gather signatures, but there are enough Mainers who are concerned about it who are going to jump on board.
Still, experienced petition gatherers say that even passionate grassroots efforts can founder without raising hundreds of thousands of dollars to cover printing and legal fees and training and overseeing volunteers to make sure petitions are properly filled out and handled.
No, I think there's a lot of enthusiasm, but I think it would be a challenge to collect all the signatures with just volunteers.
Portland Senator Ben Shipman, who helped organize anti-clearcut initiatives in Maine 2 decades ago, says signature gatherers can benefit when an upcoming election draws voters to the polls and to the booths that petitioners set up outside voting places. But this fall, there will be no statewide elections or major issues on the ballot.
I mean, it's warm weather now, but, you know, we only got a few months left of that. And if they don't have any funding, I think it would be a challenge without a decent turnout election to go to with volunteers. You know, there's like municipal elections and stuff, but they don't really draw much of a turnout.
The spokesman for a secretive group called Stop the Corridor that financed a statewide advertising campaign against the project did not return a request for comment on whether it might fund a petition drive. Another of the project's high-profile opponents, the Natural Resources Council of Maine, is on the fence about whether to join a petition drive. Pete Dittesheim, NRCM's advocacy director, says the group is focused for now on CMP's attempts to win federal and state environmental permits. But he has no doubts about the outcome of a citizens' initiative.
I've given a number of talks recently, and there's almost not an audience that I go to where there aren't people who are asking, and I would even say clamoring, for an opportunity to vote against the project.
In a press statement, CMP said that all its efforts are, quote, geared towards successfully passing the required benchmarks laid out for the project, which include an open dialogue with Mainers about the massive project benefits for our state. Say No's Sandra Howard, meanwhile, is continuing work to get municipalities to go on record against the project. That includes tonight, when voters in Durham hold a special town meeting on whether to oppose it. For Maine Public Radio News, I'm Fred Bever.
And that's today's Maine News. For more stories, visit mainepublic.org and join us tomorrow on Maine Calling at 1 o'clock for a conversation about internet privacy and Maine's new law on it. I'm Nora Flaherty.